911 WHFC, you're on What's Up at the Owl's Nest. And who do I have here at the Owl's Nest? Why, I have Thomas Ebel, that's who, from Library Digital Media Specialist. Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being here, man, on the Owl's Nest. And got a lot of cool things over there. You're the digital media specialist.
Yep. Yeah, we got some pretty cool stuff over at the library. I just want to take a minute to talk about the One Button Studio and answer any questions you might have.
Yeah, so on that note, for those of us who may not know, what is the One Button Studio?
So the One Button Studio is a room on the first floor of the library. It's basically just a recording studio, comes pre-equipped with a camera, a ceiling-mounted microphone, and a three-light setup. And so students, faculty, and staff can come to this room and just bring a flash drive with them, and they can record a video. No previous experience necessary, no need to know how to use hardware, just know how to press a button.
You can be your own star, it sounds like.
Yep.
What are some of the uses that we've seen so far for this awesome studio?
So right now, we've had students come in and record some like short demo lessons for the education course. Just recently, we've had students from some of our speech classes come in to record speeches. So that's both for our online courses and our face-to-face and hybrid speech classes. I also have an instructor that was coming in about every week to record lectures to put onto his online class. And otherwise, we've had some of our staff, some of our faculty come in and record videos, whether it's for our faculty orientation. And really, it's been used for some outside stuff as well. I mean, it's college related, but it's not necessarily class.
Sure.
Had a student come in and record like a little Shark Tank thing where he was pitching a product. And I had another student come in just Wednesday night and record something else in the studio that she needed to get done that night.
So the sky's the limit, really. I mean, the limits of your creativity, right?
Yeah, and we don't really restrict any of our users to just focus on their class project. So say a student, you know, really wanted to do a podcast or, you know, say for a YouTube channel or anything like that. The whole room is set up so that it can be kind of freeform. And really, as long as the student's not breaking anything, they can record whatever they want.
Now, it's pretty high quality video, right, Tom?
Yeah, it's the camcorder itself is a high def Canon camcorder, and it comes out as an MP4 video, and it just drops right onto their flash drive. And afterwards, a student can either take that video and go and be done with it, or they can go to any of the computers that are marked as our digital media lab in the first floor computer lab and edit those videos.
Well, it sounds like it's got loads of convenience for our students here and our faculty as well on campus. Now, prompts me for this next question. What was some of the reasons that we created the One Button Studio?
So we wrote a grant up a few years ago for the One Button Studio because we wanted to provide as much access as possible to our community. We know not everyone has access or funds or availability for this technology, but they still might want to record videos and record other things. So the onus was kind of on us to get that technology more available and more usable for our students, because not everyone, as I said, even our students have access to recording equipment.
Right. So it's more than just convenient. It's giving, it's enabling our students, you know, who may not have access to this technology, the ability to do so.
Yeah, exactly. And it's growing. That usage is definitely going up.
Well, that's great to hear, you know, and that's what we're all about here at Harvard Community College is enabling our students to get their hands on technology. So when they get out there in the real world, they get those experiences.
Yeah, exactly. It's and it makes me smile whenever I get to show an orientation, the One Button Studio, though our orientation leaders will kind of pile everyone into that space. And I sometimes show it off for the new students.
Well, you know, that leads me to my next line of questioning, now that you say that. Now, you do a lot of the workshops there at the library. You teach those workshops. Tell me about the workshops.
I do. So I host three different workshops. Two of them are aimed towards students, faculty, and staff. There's a third one that's more aimed towards, you know, faculty and staff. But the student ones, I have a workshop, and they're kind of separated into video and still images. The video workshop is about the One Button Studio and editing that video. So any student that comes by for this workshop, I guide through and we create a video together in the One Button Studio. So they'll get basic hands-on experience. And then we take that video and go back to a digital media classroom that was funded alongside the One Button Studio. And I show users how to edit that video in Adobe Premiere. So they get the experience that they need to go from start to finish for their project process.
Well, Adobe Premiere is one of the industry standards for video editing. So, you know, you're teaching students the right software suites. And anything else with Creative Suite, Photoshop, Illustrator?
Yes. So the other workshop, while it's, you know, it's I teach the basics of working in Photoshop and in Illustrator. So just some of the basic tools and other quick access. And also, I did want to highlight that any of our students can access this software in the computer lab. So we have a row of computers in the computer lab that are marked specifically to be the quote-unquote digital media lab space. So if a student has a creative project they want to work on, they can come by and use these computers. And for their creative projects, they do get priority for these computers.
So there's a digital media lab in our library. What floor?
It's on the first floor. So it's in the computer lab. It's that sixth row. We don't have a specific space at the moment. So right now we are using the space in the computer lab.
Well, so it sounds like in the digital media lab, there's some software suites on there that may not be on all the other computers. So it's a special place to come if you have creative endeavors in mind.
Exactly. Yeah. So not just the programs from the Adobe Creative Suite. We also have some other sort of freeware programs that students might be using if they haven't had access. So
okay.
We have Audacity, which is an audio editing program.
Oh, yeah. And we're using it right now.
Yeah. And then there's we have GIMP. So it's it's another photo editing software. So it's kind of like a free version of Photoshop. So, you know, if a student is more familiar with GIMP and they get on those computers, they wouldn't necessarily have to worry about, you know, relearning an interface, and they could just hop onto this program that they might be more familiar with.
Well, you know, that's definitely good that we have that variety there for our students, because, you know, Adobe can be labyrinthy and, you know, a little confusing sometimes, but you're there to help guide them, like you said, through the basics of those programs. And that's their taste, their beginning tastes.
Yep.
Of the Adobe Suite. Is it free to students and faculty?
So the One Button Studio is it's free to any member of our community. We do require signups for and making reservations through the library's website. There's a page for the One Button Studio where students, faculty, staff can come and sign up using their student email, and it kind of checks it and makes sure it's all good, and they use that email to actually get signed into the studio.
Well, it sounds like if it's a free course, why not take advantage of it? And where can they sign up?
So right now, I don't have the future courses on the website.
Okay.
But there is a calendar on the website for the studio. It's harford.edu/OBS. It's a really simple, short link to access. But there is a calendar on there. And that, you know, around probably the beginning of the winter semester, I will be having that populated for all the workshops and courses that will be offered in the spring. And so students can go on there and sign up for those workshops, as well as signing up to access the One Button Studio.
And if it's free, go on ahead and take these classes and let Thomas Ebel help you in your creative endeavors. These sounds like some great, great workshops that you guys have there at the library. I'm so glad that you're here to tell them about all these amazing workshops. Now, you were talking to me a little bit before the interview that you're working with the e-learning department about virtual reality technology. Talk to me about that. That's fascinating.
Yeah, of course. It's actually something I'm passionate about both outside the college and in education.
Oh.
There are so many uses of virtual reality, especially when it comes to access for students that, you know, might not necessarily have the means to, you know, visit somewhere far off.
Sure.
Or, you know, kind of act like a magic school bus kind of thing and get inside the human body to actually get that immersive experience. So with virtual reality, what it does, this whole immersive learning, it gets you inside the concepts and inside the material. So, you know, say for it might be like an archaeology course or, you know, an ancient architecture course. There's currently an app in development that would let, you know, a user go to Machu Picchu and actually explore there.
Oh, wow.
Without having to, you know, leave the comfort of one of our study rooms. You would just put a headset on and you'd be able to explore. We have a few classes now that are using virtual reality. I know one of our psychology instructors, she has videos that she shows to her students about what an actual, as accurate as, you know, we can get of what someone experiences when they're going through schizophrenia.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a ton of videos that you can find on YouTube, if, you know, even just basic stuff to actually show you what people are experiencing. And so we're currently working on that. I know our e-learning department, he's trying to get HoloLens, which is Microsoft's big mixed reality thing, which is just a video overlay over what you're seeing naturally.
Wow.
Yeah, to get, you know, because it's a growing thing and it's slowly becoming more accessible to students. It's slowly becoming less and less expensive overall. And, you know, hopefully we can gear up and get more of that stuff here at the college, particularly at the library, something that I personally want to get it into the hands of our students.
Well, that's what we're all about, you know, giving our students access and enabling them to have that hands-on experience with new technology. And, you know, VR, virtual reality, that's the wave of the future. You know, it's not just for video games, kids. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of real world academic applications. And as soon as you get your hands on more of this stuff, Tom, I want you to come back and want you to talk it up with me.
Oh, totally.
We've got to talk about this further. So glad that you came on. You enlightened the heck out of me today. Thomas Ebel from the library here at Hartford Community College, digital media specialist. Tom, I'm going to have you back on again. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks so much.
Have a great one.
You too.
How's it going, everyone? You're tuned into the Owl's Nest on 91.1 WHFC. I'm your host today, Rashad Butler. And who do we have here today? We have Joe Chase, Student Engagement Specialist here at Hartford County Community College. How are you doing, Chase?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me here.
Awesome. Great, great. For people who don't know, what does that title do? Like, what does it entail, the Student Engagement Specialist?
Yeah, so I am the Student Engagement Specialist in the Office of Student Life. Basically, I provide a pathway for students to enjoy their life outside of their academic studies. We encourage them to join clubs on campus, which we call a registered student organization, and also encourage them to attend the events that we have on campus. As far as a day-to-day, what a student engagement specialist does, We have over 35 clubs on campus.
Wow.
Exactly. A lot of people are very surprised.
Yeah, I didn't know. 35? Wow.
Yeah. And it's growing. It's currently in the process of, we have new clubs, you know, but populating all the time. When people go on our website, you know, in hartford.edu, they look for Student Life, and then you'll see a full list of all of our clubs on campus. So basically, you know, the goal is to, you know, get the students involved on campus. And statistics show time and time and again that the students who are involved in campus do better in school and, you know, in their careers in general. So mm-hmm. that's what my goal is. You know, I'm passionate about that. And I really want students to see that they have this opportunity. You know, if you go on the website, you'll see a full list of it. But, you know, just to give you an idea of the 35 clubs we have on campus. So it really ranges from an academic honor society, if you're interested in religious, you know, a religious club, we have that. So, for example, we have like the Actors Guild. Mm-hmm. We have the Improv Club, if you're interested in that.
That sure. sounds cool.
That is. I mean, it it's cool. a lot of fun. Yeah. I've witnessed a couple of performances improv, and they're it's really good. I couldn't do it myself, but it's really awesome. But they're pretty awesome. We have a photography club. Again, going back to the any religious or spiritual clubs, we have Crew, we have Harvest Ministries, we have Young Life at HCC, and if you're looking for, my personal favorite is Gamers Guild.
Wow.
That we have on campus. So they meet once a week. They set up their consoles and their television sets in the Globe Cafe.
What?
So it's fun to sit there and watch them engage, and it gives them an opportunity to decompress.
Yeah, yeah.
One of those things where you work hard all day and why not spend an hour or so just kind of mingling and
right and just playing games with friends out. You know, that sounds great. I'm surprised I never found out about that.
Yeah, there we go.
I gotta get into that.
There's a lot of fun things. And as far as, even though we have over 35 clubs, you'll still have a student who will call me or walk into the office like, this is great, but there's a club here I want to start a club. Can I do that? I have a special interest.
Whoa.
And it's like, yes, start your own club. And that's what I'm here for, just to make sure that they have all the resources, you know, to start the club. You know, if they have this interest, mm-hmm. other students on campus also have that interest. So that's what I'm here for, to assist them with it. To give you an example, one of our newer clubs is called the Do Good Club.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's what they do. Do good on campus and also in our community.
Awesome.
And it started from a student coming in, and they love the programs that we have, but they want to do more civic engagement services, you know, within our community, and they just start Do Good Club. And, you know, the month of November, they collected clothes for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then for 2 weeks in December, they had an upcycle shop. So any student, staff, faculty member who just wanted clothes for free,
mm-hmm.
no questions asked, go right ahead. And it was very popular. Yeah, they go and shop. It was really cool.
That was great. That sounds amazing. Yeah. Now that people have that information, hopefully we have some more clubs coming up in, you know, the spring and future semesters. Like, that's great. People really don't know that there's different sections of student life. Talk to me about the sections, the many different, you know, departments that student life have.
Yeah, so we have so I go ahead and handle all the clubs on campus, along with a lot of fun administrative things. And then you have Cheryl Love, mm-hmm. who is our student engagement specialist, and she handles all the programs towards the college minority population, African-American, Latinx community. Then you have Caitlin White, who is our student leadership and orientation specialist. So if you've ever had, you know, you take an orientation here at the college, you probably met Caitlin before.
Yeah.
So she handles all of that. And then you have Laura Burke, who is our student wellness and programming specialist. So that's all the program, you know, the wellness programs, civic engagement things that we do here on campus.
Yeah.
So everyone in our department specializes in a specific area.
Okay, sweet. Earlier in the conversation, I heard you talking about plans and events and stuff like that you guys hold here on campus. Are there any plans for events with student life for the next year, the next semester, anything like that?
Yeah, no, we do. And that's a loaded question as well.
There's so many.
So many pieces go into planning an event. During the end of the spring semester, mm-hmm. we plan for our fall events. And then at the end of the fall, you know, right now we are going ahead and planning for the spring.
Right.
And as far as, and our programs are very intentional. You know, people think they know when we plan our events, we just mm-hmm. kind of pick events randomly and say, yes, students are really going to like this. But there's a lot that goes behind that planning. And I kind of look at event planning for the students in our office as like making a cake. You know, you have to go ahead and find the right ingredients to make, you know, the cake taste yummy.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to slice into the cake and eat the cake might look pretty on the outside. But
then inside, it's uncooked. It's messy. It's,
yeah. You're not coming back for seconds.
Right. Right.
So what we try to do is really our goal is to give students a 4-year college feel in a 2-year institution.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, let's say those are the eggs for the cake. You know, great. That's exactly what we want to do.
Yeah.
And there's a lot going on campus. So we don't want the students to feel overwhelmed because they have, besides, you know, their studies, they have family life, they have jobs. Mm-hmm. So we have to, you know, be conscious about, you know, the time constraint that they have.
Right,
let's give them the value for the time that they have. So let's say that's the sugar or maybe the cinnamon, depending on what you want to do.
Right.
And then our programs are designed to be proactive in meeting the students' needs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of figuring out what do the students need. You know how they say the WIFM, you know, what's in it for me? So yeah. Really trying to be very intentional about that. Like, what can the students actually gain from this particular experience?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so we want to provide also an opportunity for the students to learn about themselves and others. Mm-hmm. Around. So again, that's, again, still adding the ingredients to the bowl.
Yeah.
But really, what's going to put all these ingredients together? What's, before we start mixing, and, you know, say the milk would be, mm-hmm. you know, to foster everything is like the college's mission to grow, achieve, inspire, and contribute.
Right.
You know, we want to take those into consideration, the college's vision and the values. So right now, we can mix the cake, put it in the oven. Great. Boom. Now, taking into the sections that I mentioned before, the wellness, the leadership, the diversity.
Yeah.
Now everyone's going to decorate their own cake.
Yes, yes, yes.
Depending on what, you know, what their, you know, the students' needs are. So great, you got the wellness programs, you got the ingredients. Everybody's cake is the same because we all have the same idea in mind.
Right.
But how are we going to go ahead and make sure everyone has distinct, you know, focus on their particular programs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's great, too. Like, the events that we hold here, they're so amazing in bringing everyone together for them to, like, meet new people and express themselves freely, too, sometimes. And just, like, it's amazing. It's great. I've been to a couple of them already, so I know exactly how it is, and it's great. Yeah, it's a great time.
It's amazing all the passion and the drive the students have. Again, you know, going from the clubs and just, you know, the events that we host for the students, it's mm-hmm. really awesome to see. See
right.
it all come together.
Got you. What are some of the other ways we can engage our students here on campus, you know, with student life and things like that? Like, we know about the clubs and the events and stuff like that. Are there any other ways you guys reach out to students here?
Well, there's just the basic, simple ways of getting the students to know about our events. We do weekly emails that we send out to the students to let them know about our events. I try to make it short and sweet because most of the time someone's looking on their phone.
Yeah.
If you have to scroll more than three times, you're not...
It's
really
engaging, yeah.
Right.
My attention's gone immediately almost if it's not right there.
Exactly. So you try to make it really short and sweet. We actually have the Hartford Events app,
mm-hmm.
which is an app that you can download on your phone. And it lets you know about all the events that we have going on campus.
Right.
So besides the Office of Student Life events, you have all the club events on there as well, the athletic events. We try to engage students to actually just branch out of our office because,
mm-hmm.
you know, the college is pretty loud. I mean, you know, as far as, you know, a lot of things that they have going on.
Right.
We also, besides just the event portion of it, we engage students through our food pantry.
Oh, the food pantry. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, we have a food pantry on campus where we ask for donations from the college. You know, we have food baskets in all of the buildings here. We have food donation baskets.
Mm-hmm.
And twice a week, we go ahead and we pick up the food and we put it in the food pantry.
Yeah.
Anyone, faculty, staff, anyone could come in
mm-hmm.
and just pick whatever food they like. No questions asked. If you want food, you can go ahead and grab it.
Wow.
There are students that come in like, oh my goodness, I forgot my lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's some ramen noodles in there. You know, if that's what you want, there we go.
Right. We got you. It's something, you know what I mean?
Or if you want to grab a couple of granola bars or something, you could do that, you know, do that as well. So,
yeah.
You know, and then when the students come, you know, for the food pantry, then, you know, if we want to strike, sometimes it'll strike a conversation with us and ask us what we do on, you know, on campus.
Wow.
As well,
so. Yeah, yeah.
And I really enjoy the open door policy that we have with our students.
Mm-hmm.
I am happy to say that students are comfortable enough to... They know they could come and chat with us about anything, and we learn so many things. You know, for myself, I feel that the students keep us in the loop of what's going on in pop culture, or you know, make the connections with the students is a wonderful opportunity as well. So I really enjoy that part of it.
Yeah, that is amazing. Thank you for everything that you guys do over there too.
Thank you.
You know, like it's great to have a program and stuff like that where we can go to and like kind of be comfortable with ourselves and go to like. You know, the food pantry idea itself is really amazing because sometimes I do forget lunch money sometimes, you know what I mean?
It happens. It really happens. And it's an opportunity for you, and again, us engaging the students as they come in. Hey, what's going on? But it's, you know, it's off to the side and students can go ahead and use it. Yeah, I would say the most popular thing in the food pantry are Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts. Right, you can't go wrong with Pop-Tarts, you know?
Pop-Tarts, so. You know, a toaster or not. Like, they're, you know, they're really good. But yeah, we have a variety of options. You know, so if you have the cookies, granola bars, but they're also canned food items.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the students would come in and just take, let's say, because you could take up to two items per day.
Oh, okay.
So, which is fine. Some students would take, let's say, spaghetti and sauce and take it home.
Right,
and they could go ahead and make something at home, you know, for the families, or they come and bring it for lunch as well. So.
Sweet, sweet. And where is that located on campus?
Yep. It's located in our office, which is in the Student Center lower lobby, which is across from the Globe Cafe.
Perfect. Awesome. That is great. Cool. Thank you for that.
Oh, certainly.
And anything else you would like to mention about clubs or future ideas in your department of the student life?
Yeah, I mean, we're in the midst of planning our spring, you know, a lot of our spring meetings or meetings/conferences, a lot of things, events that we have on campus. Right now, we're planning Springapalooza. Ooh. Which is happening at the end of April.
That sounds fun.
It's a lot of fun. Laura Burke, who's our student wellness and engagement specialist, takes care of that. So it's basically like a carnival without like the Ferris wheel, I guess.
Right.
You could do. We'll have free food. Mm-hmm. We'll have crafts and things that the students could do.
Yeah.
Games that they can participate in. If I'm not mistaken, there'll be rock wall climbing.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was pretty popular last year.
That sounds cool.
Can't wait to see that again.
Yeah, I definitely got to go to that one for sure.
That's pretty awesome. We have, as far as wellness events, we have it usually in the student center. We have wellness tables,
mm-hmm.
where students can, let's say, check their blood pressure, or,
ooh.
You know, the American Diabetes Association would come by,
mm-hmm.
the health department come by for any STD testing. So there, we will have wellness programs out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very happy to see that the students want to take care of themselves, and they actually take advantage of these wellness tables. Let me see. Cheryl Love has some of her diversity events happening soon. She has a Black Brown College Brown that's happening. She's taking students to Tampa, Florida. Students haven't been selected yet.
Wow.
To an event there as well. So we have a lot of different things.
That sounds
on campus.
Fun. Yeah.
So again, go on the Harford.edu website, Office of Student Life. You see it there. The Harford Events app is very, very helpful with a lot of events.
Yeah.
Going on. So yeah, it's just a little taste of what we have going on in the spring.
Sweet. Thank you for everything today. And this has been Joe Chase. I appreciate it. Thank you for coming to the Owl's Nest. Hope to have you here again.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. See you guys.
All right. Thank you.
I'd like to thank all of our guests this week on the Owl's Nest, Thomas Ebel, Library Digital Media Specialist, and Joe Chase, Student Engagement Specialist from Student Life. I'd also like to thank the WHFC production team, Allison Cobert and Rashad Butler, for all of their hard work. And I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in. Until next week, stay curious.